Today, on Commitment to Truth.
Your boss says, you know, if you don't raise those sales numbers by the fourth quarter, you're going to lose your job. Or if you don't start loving me as Christ loved the church and gave his very life, I'm going to walk out on you. If you don't start obeying me, I'm going to kick you out of the house. The human sinful tendency is to run to someone else other than God. I want to encourage you today, don't lose heart while you wait for him. Don't get so desperate that you start doing stuff, saying stuff that you're going to regret. And truth be told, prolongs your exile.
Welcome to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. Thank you so much for spending time with us today. Each week, Pastor Cedric Brown and the pastoral team at Commitment Church strive to draw you into a deeper relationship with our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. This week, we continue our sermon series titled, I Will Be Found, Seeking God with All of Our Hearts. In this sermon series, our pastoral team will encourage the body of Christ, no matter where they are in life, to confidently seek the Lord with all their hearts, knowing that He will be found. Here is Pastor Cedric, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with today's message.
Verse 8 and 9, again, Jeremiah 29. It says, For this is what the Lord of armies, the God of Israel, says. Do not let your prophets who are in your midst or your diviners deceive you. And do not listen to their interpretations of your dreams which you dream. For they prophesy falsely to you in my name. I've not sent them, declares the Lord. One thing is for sure is that when we find ourselves in a place that we don't want to be, there will always be people who come around and they'll be in your ear and trying to give you advice and trying to give you input. And some of them will say that they've been sent by God. You know, God is telling me to tell you. You ever been there? Well, the Lord is speaking to me about you, right? And there'll be people all the time. You know, my humble opinion is because as we continue through this, is that there's this inherent need for answers. So the enemy will strategically send people. Position people just to be in your ear to confuse you or to give you false information. That's why when you look at verses 8 and 9, like Israel, we cannot be men and women who we can't waver while we're in exile. The truth is the truth. The gospel is the gospel. Christ is Christ. God is God, and he remains the same. Your approach to pursuing God is the same. Right, when you weren't in exile is when you're in exile. Hearing from God does not change, right? Praying does not change. Reading the scriptures do not change. Seeking godly counsel and wise counsel does not change because now I'm in a desperate situation, which leads to deception and being deceived. That's why you look at the word deceive, it means this, to lend on interests. In other words, it's kind of like saying, well, you know, I'm giving too much credibility to people who are giving me false advice. The definition goes on to say to act as a creditor for you. So again, think about this. This person in your life, they will come and begin to speak to you about certain things that is not from God. God is nowhere to be found, truth be told. But then it gets even more craftier. When we don't want to be where we are, this is how sometimes we respond. We cannot be men and women who quickly agree with the lies. Now remember what the scripture says. Do not walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Right? It says, do not walk, do not stand, do not sit in the counsel of the ungodly. And what you see is that there's this progressive motion of you capturing my attention. You now, I'm walking with you, so now you're with me. You have my attention. Once I stand and stop, I face you, and now you have more of my attention. Once I sit with you, you got me. So the psalmist is warning us and saying, no, don't even walk in the counsel of the ungodly. Because if you keep walking in it, eventually it's going to capture your attention. And once it captures your attention, it's going to get all of you because you're going to be absorbed in the lies. So our temptation is to want desperately to hear from God. I want to hear from you, God. So we get so desperate and begin to believe lies. The word listen here in verse 8 means this: do not consent to, do not yield, do not obey to the lies. But then it even gets worse. Verse number 9 says, they prophesy falsely in my name. One of the greatest temptations in the midst of a difficult season is to seek out false prophets. You may not intentionally do it, but you're so desperate and you're looking at every televangelist, listening to everybody on radios. You even get, this human nature is we'll get so desperate that we start dialing 800 numbers and say, can you give me an answer? We'll walk on the boardwalk and we see a palm reader and say, I'm so desperate. I need some answers. Let's swing through there and see if they can give me an answer. But then it gets even wackier. This is how wacky it gets. We'll even say, okay, well, let me check the newspaper, or now you can Google it and see what my horoscope says today. Because I just need to hear something. You could find yourself at a Chinese food restaurant. Cracking open that fortune cookie and hoping that God's going to speak to you. You never done any of that, right? I know, come on now. We've all done some of that. Okay, God, speak to me. You know, eat another cookie, you know? So again, the sinful human tendency is that I need answers. I need answers. And we just take answers from anything that breathes. We just tell me something good. You just got to tell me something good. Tell me that it's going to get better. You know, tell me that my marriage is going to get better. Tell me that my family is going to be healed. Tell me that my finances is going to get better. Can you tell me that one day I'll sleep at night, right? And when we get so desperate for answers and wonder why is life so hard, and we just start seeking after people and things that aren't God. The word falsely means this, that there will be, it says, people who prophesy falsely in my name. There will be people who lie, who are fraud, who are testify falsehood in my name for deception. In other words, they would be counterfeits. You see, Daniel had the same dilemma. So if you could look with me to Daniel chapter 2. Daniel chapter 2. He had this dilemma. Here's the king now. He's pressed against the wall. His back is against the wall, right? Things are closing in on Daniel. In other words, the king is now searching for all the soothsayers, all the diviners, everyone who can hear from some type of God. Right, he's now put them on the hot seat and said, everybody better give me an answer. If you don't give me an answer, you're going to be killed. It's kind of like this. Your boss says, you know, if you don't raise those sales numbers by the fourth quarter, you're going to lose your job. If you don't raise your performance by this time, you're going to lose your job. Right? Well, you know, if you don't start loving me as Christ loved the church and gave his very life for, I'm going to walk life for you, for me, for us, I'm going to walk out on you. Right? If you don't start obeying me, you know, I brought you into this world, I can take you out of it. And if you don't start obeying me, I'm going to kick you out of the house. Over and over and over again in real life, we're in precarious positions that feel like exile, like my back against the wall. How do I navigate this? How do I get through this? What am I going to do? The human sinful tendency is to run to someone else other than God. It's how we're wired sinfully. But listen to how Daniel approached this. He was one of the people that the king would have killed if he didn't come up with an answer. Listen to how he responds. Daniel chapter 2, beginning with verse 24. It says, "Thereupon Daniel went to Arioch, whom the king had appointed to kill the wise men of Babylon. He went and said this to him, 'Do not kill the wise men of Babylon. Take me into the king's presence, and I will decree the interpretation to the king.' Then Arioch hurriedly brought Daniel to the king's presence and spoke to him as follows, 'I have found a man among the exiles from Judah who can make the interpretation known to the king.' The king said to Daniel, whose name was Belshazzar, 'Are you able to make known to me the dream which I have seen and its interpretation?' Verse 27, Daniel answered before the king and said, 'As for the secret about which the king has inquired, neither,'" underline these and think about this, "neither wise men, sorcerers, soothsayers, priests, nor diviners are able to declare it to the king. However, there is a God, capital G, in heaven who reveals secrets, and he has made known to King Nebuchadnezzar what will take place in the latter days. This was your dream and the vision in your mind while on your bed. Verse 29, as for you, O king, while on your bed, your thoughts turn to what will take place in the future, and he who reveals secrets has made known to you what will take place. But as for me, this secret has not been revealed to me for any wisdom residing in me more than any other living person, but for the purpose of making the interpretation known to the king, and that you may understand the thoughts of your mind." Now, Daniel is building it up climactically. Now, Daniel now begins to interpret King Nebuchadnezzar's dream with certainty and with clarity. Was it from his own strength? Right? Was it from some other wise means? Right? Some other resource? Okay, let's fast forward now to Daniel chapter 2, verses 44 and 45. It says, "In the days of those kings, the God of heaven will set up a kingdom which will never be destroyed. And that kingdom will not be left for another people. It will be crushed and put an end to all these kingdoms. But it will itself endure forever. Just as you saw that a stone was broken off from the mountain without hands, and that it crushed the iron and the bronze, the clay, the silver, and the gold. The great God, capital G, has made known to the king what will take place in the future. So the dream is certain, and its interpretation is trustworthy." Do you hear that? Only God brings certainty. Only God is trustworthy. You follow me? So again, put yourself in a precarious position. You see no way out, right? Don't run to some other source or resource, right? On this side of heaven, run to God who is certain and who is what? Trustworthy. It's making sense so far. But then if you fast forward to the results, listen to what this says in Daniel chapter 2, verses 46 and 47. It says, "Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face and paid humble respect to whom? Daniel. And gave orders to present to him an offering and incense. The king responded to Daniel and said, 'Your God, truly is a capital G of lower G gods, and a Lord, capital L, of kings. So in other words, he immediately asserted the God of Daniel above himself. He says, a revealer of secrets, since you have been able to reveal this secret. Do you hear that? In other words, immediately when we turn to God, right, God then helps us through the circumstance, right, brings about the answer that no one else can give in an organization, in a company, in a country, in a home, in a family. And then on top of that, he inserts himself as what? Lord. As the one in charge of everything. And that's what we have to become as men and women, that we're not attracted to falsehood. We're not attracted to the lies and deceptions of people who are, you know, good talkers and smooth talkers and very eloquent about certain things that sound like it's God, but it's not capital G, God. Because only capital G can interpret, only capital G knows the secret places of a man or a woman's heart. Only capital G God knows the secrets and the needs of an organization. Only the capital G God understands, listen, the secrets, the truth, the need of a country. Only he does. But here's what Jesus warned us with in Matthew 24, verses 23 through 28. Are you tracking with me? Is this making sense? Oh, all right. Verse 23, he says, then if anyone says to you, behold, here is the Christ, or he is over here, do not believe him. For false Christs and false prophets will arise and will provide great signs and wonders so as to mislead, if possible, even the elect. Now, proper understanding of verse number 24, a lot of times we quote it this way, that he will deceive even the elect. But it says, if possible, even deceive the elect. So if possible, Daniel himself could have been deceived. If he would have pursued and failed into the trap of the lies and succumb to the lies that circle around us to think that there is some other option than the one true living God. Then it says in verse 25, again, we're in Matthew 24. Behold, I have told you in advance. It's like Jesus said, hey, listen, I gave you the heads up. So if they say to you, behold, he is in the wilderness, do not go out. Or behold, he is in the inner rooms, do not believe them. For just as the lightning comes from the east and flashes as far as the west, so will the coming of the Son of Man be. So think about that. You don't know where lightning is coming from. You don't know where it started. You can look over here to your left, it's over to your right. But one thing is for sure, our challenge will always be that there is this searching going on. I'm in the wilderness. I'm going out to see that person, hear that person. I'm in this inner room. It clearly shows that the inclination is to go about to look for answers. But then the result is this. Where the corpse is, there the vultures will gather. While we are in exile, church, we cannot waver. We cannot get so desperate that we are now deceived, we're agreeing with lies, and we become attractive to false teachers. Amen? Our last point for today is found in verses 10 and 11, back in Jeremiah 29. Now, understand the context. Jeremiah 29, 11. I'm sure if I ask someone who's listening today, can you recite that verse? Right? The buildup is this. Live productively in exile. Seek contentment in exile. Don't waver while you're in exile. Here's our fourth point. like Israel, we must trust God's character while we're in exile. Then it leads to verse 11. If you're with me. So let's read verses 10 and 11. It says, "For this is what the Lord says, when 70 years have been completed for Babylon, I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you to bring you back to this place." Now here's the promise, or the ultimate promise. "For I know the plans that I have for you, declares the Lord, plans for prosperity and not for disaster, to give you a future and a hope." Sure, you've heard that verse kind of standing alone, right? But what we're learning today in its proper context, again, productive, no matter where I am, no matter how unfair it is, God, help me to always bear fruit. Help me to always bear fruit, no matter if everyone is, listen, if the organization is tanking, help me to always bear fruit, right? Help me to seek contentment, seek the well-being of those I'm around and who I'm with. Help me not to waver. Give me the strength not to waver and be deceived by every wind and doctrine and every good word, but isn't a God word. And like Israel, give us the courage to trust God's character. Look at verse 10 a little closer. "I will visit you and fulfill my good word to you." I want to encourage you today, as you're waiting and trusting God, don't lose heart while you wait for him. You gotta wait. Don't get so desperate that you start doing stuff, saying stuff that you're gonna regret. And truth be told, prolongs your exile. Don't get so desperate that you cannot wait. Listen to what he says here. "I will visit you." The word "visit" means this: I will look after you. I will tend to you. I will watch over you. So you may not be where you want to be, but he will tend to you. He will care for you. He will watch over you wherever you are. Don't move too quickly. Don't respond too quickly, because he is a God who is there looking after you, attending to you, and watching over you. That's what he does. That's his promise. But then it gets better. He says, "Then I will fulfill my good word." In other words, he will fulfill his good acts. He will fulfill a thing. In other words, many times we're waiting for God to do what? Act. He will act. He will act, and he will do that thing that he's promised to you, or that thing that you need. He's the same God yesterday, today, and forever. But when we are in exile, we have to be men and women who hold on to these precious and magnificent promises of God. We may not see it yet, but hold on to it. You may not understand the plan yet, but understand he has a plan. And chances are his plan is not going to be like your plan, because his thoughts are not your thoughts and his ways are not your ways, right? But it's going to be worked out. He's going to work it out. And his plan will always be for your and my benefit. Amen? Amen. And that's why if you look deeper here, listen, it says he will bring you back to this place. The words "bring you back" means this: he will allow you to return. There may be someone today that you lost it all, and you're feeling bad, you're feeling frustrated, you're feeling discouraged. His promise to you is this: he's going to allow you to return back. There may be some person right now that it's like, I don't know how to get back. But you know his promise is that he's going to draw you back, because it's his kindness that draws you to repentance. There may be someone today who says, listen, I am worn out. I am so frustrated. I am so discouraged and disappointed. I'm so beat down. His promise is, no, wait for me, because I'm going to restore you and refresh you. That's his promise. It's his promise. You know, that happens so much in the context of marriage, right? I mean, think about it. We've been married almost be 37 years in January. There are years and seasons that it's like, well, Lisa, you got this. You follow me? There are seasons that I say, no, I got this. Do you understand what I'm saying? There'll be times that she's thriving and she's encouraging me and she don't even know it. You follow me? And there's times I'm thriving and I'm encouraging and I'm encouraging her. Yes, but then there's seasons that, guess what? We're both thriving and encouraged and we're just hitting it on all cylinders. You follow me? Even in the wait, he'll restore you. He'll refresh you. Listen, you may be in a marriage that you're the only one who believes. And right now, your wife, your husband is like, I just don't get it. I don't know why you're all excited about this Jesus stuff. Wait. Trust me. They don't have a chance. Seriously. I'm dead serious. You know, just wait. Wait. I mean, you may be the only one in your family trusting Jesus and trying to live for him. You may be the only friend, and all your friends are just whatever right now. Just wait. If he doesn't do something in their lives, he's going to restore unto you friends that are better than those. Every area. Listen, I can't tell you how many bad financial decisions I've made for our family. Just trying to figure it out. It was never any ill intent. It was just trying to figure it out. But I can't tell you how many times when I humble myself and waited on God and remained faithful to God that he is restored. Period. Again, this principle is applied to every single area of your life. I mean, some of you right now are going crazy, literally. Emotionally, just twisted. Renew your mind. Well, how? By the washing of the Word of God. He's faithful. He's faithful. He has plans. He has thoughts. He has a purpose. And here's a cool word that this word plans means. He has inventions for you. That is so promising, because do you realize some of the most profound innovators in our history, in the world, are followers of Jesus Christ? Just go do a search. Followers of Jesus Christ. You know, to take a peanut and just make all kinds of stuff out of peanut. Who gives that kind of wisdom? But God. You follow me? You just trace it. I was just looking at a documentary last night about the alphabet. It's supposed to be that the Phoenicians, right? But it's not. It's way back during Moses' time that they, if now conceding that history and artifacts have found that God was teaching Joseph way back then an alphabet to communicate, to write down the Torah, the law, and everything. It'll blow you away. The deeper you just look in history and evidence and so forth, it just shows that, man, God is so wise and profound, and he wants to use ordinary people just like you and me. He'll bring you back. I got to take you to these last few verses. Daniel chapter 2, if you could turn there with me real quickly. Daniel chapter 2. Remember we read verses 46 and 47. I'm going to now back up, read 46, 47, and then read 48, 49 to just affirm how we just need to remain faithful and no matter how it feels right now, how unfair it is, remain faithful. Then King Nebuchadnezzar fell on his face, paid humble respect to Daniel, and gave orders to present to him an offering and incense. The king responded to Daniel and said, "Your God truly is a God of gods and a Lord of kings and a revealer of secrets, since you have been able to reveal this secret." Then the king promoted Daniel and gave him many gifts, and he made him ruler over the entire province of Babylon and chief perfect over all the wise men of Babylon. But let's just see what God does. Remember I talked about there's times you're in exile just because of somebody else's stupidity, right? Somebody else's bad decisions. But just the contrary, you make good decisions, you do what God tells you to do, it also can benefit everybody around you. I mean, Daniel is the man, because the first thing he thinks of are his boys, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. He says, and Daniel made a request of the king, and he said, And Daniel made a request of the king, and he appointed Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego over the administration of the province of Babylon while Daniel was at the king's court. Daniel not only says, okay, well, God is blessing me, but guess what? I want my buddies to be taken care of as well. And just the beautiful favor that God gives when you choose to do the right thing, even when it's not fair. Now, caveat to that is Daniel, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were ready for this position. You follow me? So there's this responsibility in the wait while you're in exile to be ready for the position rather than sitting there twiddling your thumbs and not getting prepared, right? Sulking in it. Soaking in the misery of the moment. No, I'm engaged with God. God is preparing me. He's equipping me with gifts and skill sets. He's equipping me spiritually, emotionally. And then the appointment, what happens? What? It comes. Thus, it goes back to while we're in exile, we can't let our guards down. We got to be still. We must be men and women who are still functioning in season and out of season, doing what is right to honor the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Amen. God's character, Isaiah 43, verse 1 through 4. This is through the Message Bibles. Don't recommend it to read it, but it's curious every now and then. Now, but it's pretty fun when you read it sometimes because it's poetic, if you would. It says this, "Do not be afraid. I've redeemed you. I've called you by name. You're mine. When you're in over your head, I'll be there with you. When you're in rough waters, you will not go down. When you're between a rock and a hard place, it won't be a dead end, pardon me. Because I am God, your personal God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I paid a huge price for you, all of Egypt, with rich Cush and Saba thrown in it. That's how much you mean to me. That's how much I love you. I'll sell off the whole world to get you back. Trade the creation just for you." And that's witty. But I wanted to read that to you because it was profound. It's like, man, he'll trade in the whole world just for you. That's what we mean to him.
Hello, my name is Sarah Vega, and I am the administrative and executive director here at Commitment Church. I hope you've enjoyed today's message by Pastor Cedric Brown. If you didn't know, Pastor Cedric also sends out encouraging videos weekly. We call these the Weekly Wire. The acronym WIRE means Weekly Inspiration, Refreshment, and Encouragement. We can send these encouraging videos directly to you by subscribing at www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org. Here's an example of the encouragement you'll receive.
Have you ever been in a situation that you just needed to be saved by God? Well, there's a Bible verse that says, save your people, be their shepherd also, and carry them. Many of you may need to be saved and rescued in some unique and particular way. This portion of scripture gives us a wonderful, vivid expression of God's love and care for us. And it says again, save your people, but be their shepherd also and carry them. So during your difficult times, your most frustrating times, your most intense times of your lives, I just want you to be encouraged knowing that as you allow God to shepherd you, He will pick you up in His arms and carry you. This is Cedric Brown, lead pastor of Commitment Church, with another Weekly Wire, reminding us all that during our most difficult times, God will carry us.
We hope you enjoyed this sample of our Weekly Wire. Again, to subscribe to your weekly inspiration, refreshment, and encouragement, please visit www.loveallnations.org. Again, that's www.loveallnations.org.
Thank you for listening to Commitment to Truth, the teaching ministry of Commitment Church, a place for all nations. If you want to listen to the previous messages in this series, or if you want to hear messages from other series, visit Commitment Church on YouTube or Pastor Cedric Brown on Spotify, Pandora, or other podcast providers. You can also visit us on our website, commitmentchurch.org. And if you live in the Philadelphia, Delaware, or South Jersey area, we would love to see you in person as well. You can attend any of our services by visiting us at 2 Berlin Road South, Lindenwald, New Jersey, 08021. Thank you again for listening, and have a blessed and wonderful day.